And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And they took the blind man, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. When he opened his eyes, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. So far, the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. So once again, join together in prayer as we prepare our hearts to hear from God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear, that you'd give us hearts to apply the truth of your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us. We pray that your word would be proclaimed faithfully and that your spirit would illumine us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have been going through the book of Mark for a period of time, and today we're here now in chapter 8, where Jesus is healing this blind man. And we just had looked a few weeks back on how the disciples had misunderstood various things about Jesus and had forgotten to remember the works of Jesus. If you remember, a few weeks ago we looked at the feeding of the 4,000, and then a few weeks prior to that we looked at the feeding of the 5,000. And then Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, and the disciples had one loaf of bread, and they said they were worried about this one loaf, forgetting all that had gone in the past, that how Jesus had provided these miraculous events of feeding 4,000 or 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. And so today we come upon this interesting story, a very unique story of Jesus healing this blind man. And it seems at first that almost his miracle was not effective, like it failed in some way. Now this would be a misunderstanding, of course, as to what's going on here. Actually, this is a miracle, like other miracles, teaching us something about Jesus, and particularly teaching his followers about how to follow him and how to lean on him alone. We have to see that this is about having clear sight, clear vision. Even as his disciples, do we have clear vision and clear sight of who Jesus actually is and what he is doing? And so can we say in our own lives as followers of him, do we see clearly Jesus and his calling in our lives? Do we have faith to trust in him in all aspects of our life? And so this is a strange story, as I said. Jesus touches the man and spits on his eyes. Even that seems strange to us. He asks the man, what does he see? And he doesn't see clearly because he sees these figures. They're men that appear to him as trees that are walking. And so Jesus touches him again, and then he can see clearly. And so Jesus is really going back, and he's telling his disciples, and he's telling us to have faith in who he is and what he's done, and to see him clearly, and to trust in him for all things, because just a few verses ago, they were mistaken, and they forgot who Jesus was and what he has done. And the same is true for us. Now, where is Jesus in the story? What part of the region of the world is he in? Well, he's still in the Gentile area, the non-Jewish area. So he's outside of his own people group, and he's proclaiming the good news of the gospel to these people that, in Jewish eyes, were seen as unclean. Unclean and not people that the Jews should associate with. And Jesus is really fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament, saying he will be a light to the Gentiles, and he is. And so he's proclaiming the gospel here in Bethsaida. Slightly north and east of the Sea of Galilee, so above where they were before for a while in Capernaum, he's up there proclaiming the gospel and healing the sick. We had read how the Pharisees hadn't understood Jesus and how his disciples were confused. And now we see this morning what Jesus does to help us understand who he is and why he's come. And so let's look at three things this morning regarding this passage. And this morning we read the verses 22 through 30, but we're going to focus primarily on 22 through 26. And then next week we'll look at Peter's confession more specifically. But we'll look first of all at our lack of sight. So the first point, lack of sight. Second point, seeing but not seeing. And thirdly, the touch of Jesus. So first of all, our lack of sight. So here we have in the story a blind man who had to be touched twice by Jesus. Now, spiritually speaking, who is blind? Well, all of us at one point would say we're blind, or we had been blind. In other words, nobody can make themselves see clearly who Jesus is. It's humanly impossible for us to do. We don't just wake up one morning and say, now I believe in Jesus because I figured it out. Now, what has to happen in the life of any individual is the Spirit has to come in and illumine you as to who Jesus is, wake you up to your sin and see your need for a Savior. And so we see here, really, Jesus showing us that this is really all of us here. We all are the blind man in one sense. That we all need to be touched by Jesus in order to see him. But even for us as believers, after we've been touched by him, we still may have trouble seeing him clearly. Now we're looking here in the context of Peter's confession. And we're at kind of a turning point in the book here. Now remember, the disciples have been struggling all along to see who Jesus is and questioning what he is about and seeing these miracles and being awed at times by them and yet hearing parables and not understanding. And so we're at a turning point here because just in a few verses, in verse 29-30, we see Peter confessing that Jesus is the Christ. They understand, and so this is kind of a halfway point in the book of Mark. But you remember the very first verse of Mark already tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. This is who Jesus is. And so we see here this morning this strange miracle shows us something not only about the disciples but about ourselves. If you're familiar with one of the more familiar hymns of the church, Amazing Grace, we read these lines, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, the saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found, was blind, but now I see. And so, who struggles with blindness? Well, all of us at one point have struggled with blindness. Maybe some still cannot see here this morning. Maybe you cannot see. Well, by God's grace, we pray that you will be able to see. Just like this man, eyes were changed, his heart was open, and his eyes could then see who Jesus really was, the Savior of the world. So who is it that struggles with blindness? Well, all of us have at one point. But right before the story, we see Peter after the story, we see Peter really getting it, who Jesus is. But the Spirit has to reveal this to Peter. Who is Jesus? Well, he says he's the Christ. And then in Matthew 16, it says, it's only because the Spirit has shown you this that your eyes have been opened, so to speak, that you know who I am. So we need to be touched by Jesus. Everyone is blind. It needs to be touched by Jesus in order to see. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, but is the gift of God. You see, any one of us here in this room that has faith realize, or ought to realize, that it is a gift. Just like this man, we had to be touched by Jesus. It's a gift. None of us got this on our own, this faith on our own. No, this is a gift from God. It's only by grace that we've been saved, through faith, and it's not of our own doing. And if you look here this morning, the man needs assistance, doesn't he? Who brings him to Jesus? Well, as often in, we see in the Gospel of Mark, friends bring this man to Jesus. They can't heal him. Only Jesus can heal him. Neither do we heal ourselves. Oftentimes it takes, and we can testify this, other times people have taken us, so to speak, to Jesus. They've witnessed to us in one way, shape, or form. They brought us to church, or they invited us to church. And our eyes were open, and we saw who Jesus really was. See, we can't heal ourselves. We can't open our eyes to see who Jesus really is. This is a supernatural work of the Spirit. So God uses, therefore, friends, other believers, to bring other believers to faith. So why is this the case? Well, just like the blind man, they couldn't see. He couldn't see. We couldn't see. We need to be brought to Jesus. And so the question for us this morning as believers is do we really see faith as a gift? Do we really see this as something that He has blessed us with, that we have been touched, that it's not of our own doing, but that it is a gift of God? And do we understand the depth of our sin and our need for Christ? So who is blind? Well, we've been saying that we all are blind. We all are in need of the touch of Jesus. You see, the gospel really levels the playing field, doesn't it? You see, some people think, well, it's just the good, really good people that get to go to heaven. And they're just there because of what they do. And the scripture is clear on this. It says, no, everybody is blind. And those who see the truth of who Jesus is, it's a gift. It's not that there's just really some really good people and some that are really bad. But no, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No, we are all blind unless Jesus gets a hold of us and leads us to Himself. Unless Jesus does as He does here, so to speak, leads us by the hand, takes us away, and opens our eyes. It's just as He did this blind man. We lack spiritual understanding. We are blind. We can't see. Maybe there's some in this room that still cannot see who Jesus is. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we read this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there are other spiritual forces at work from keeping people from seeing who Jesus really is. But by God's grace, that's not the end of the story, because He can touch and open your eyes. And so we need not to despair, but look at this passage with great hope. So we do not have eyes to see, but Jesus can give us those eyes, open our eyes to see who He really is. Secondly, we see, but we don't see. Well, what do we mean by this? Well, what did the man see after the first touch of Jesus? He saw, but he didn't see clearly. What did he see? He saw this very graphic picture, isn't it? You probably all have some kind of mental picture when you read this. I see men, but they look like trees walking. And just for a moment, imagine what that, you know, would look like. You know, and I think back to the Lord of the Rings and those movies, and you see the trees that are animated. They walk and they talk, and you know, that's one picture that comes to mind in my head when I think of the movie or reading of the book. But of course, he was most likely seeing something different. It was very blurry. He couldn't see clearly. And so what we're saying here is we see, even as believers, but we don't always see clearly. The disciples, remember, saw Jesus, but they didn't see him clearly. Even after Peter confesses who Jesus is, he still has trouble when Jesus goes to the cross by denying him 3 times. And yet, he is one of the great apostles of the church who goes on with great boldness and proclaims it. And so it's a gradual process in the Christian life. Now look at the honest answer of this man. Just think of who he was. He was a man that was blind. He was most likely an outcast in society. And here he has Jesus, this great teacher, this great healer of his time, coming to him and touching him and knowing maybe, perhaps, that every time Jesus touches somebody or heals somebody, instantly they're healed. And he has the honesty to say, "Jesus, I see, but I don't see." He's very honest here. He says, "Jesus, I see, but I don't see." He could have lied, couldn't he? But if he did, what would have happened to him? He would have never have seen clearly. He would have walked around seeing men that looked like trees walking. And he would have fooled everyone. He would have tried to fool everyone else, and people would have known, really, this man cannot see clearly. So there was great pressure on this man actually to answer correctly. He could have said, "I see clearly," when he didn't. But he was honest. And he answers Jesus honestly. And so the question for us in our own Christian walk as believers, do we say, "Jesus, I see, but I don't see clearly. I don't see clearly what's going on. I don't see all the details of my life as clearly as I could in light of the gospel, in light of who you are and what you have done for me." Or do you settle on just not seeing clearly? You see, the call is for the believers to ask Jesus to show us clearly so we can see clearly his will for our lives, what he's doing in and through his Spirit in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean everything will see the future perfectly clear. No, by no stretch of the imagination. But in our faith, as we go through trials and tribulations and joy, do we trust him in all those circumstances? Do we see he's in control and that he is for us and not against us in these circumstances? You see, as believers, we don't come to Christ to be to see fuzzily the details of what he's doing and who he is, but we want to see clearly. He did not come to half save us and then we do the other half of our salvation. No, he came to save us full and to give us life, not just some life, but to give us abundant life in himself. And does that mean there won't be times where we can't see clearly or suffering or persecution? No. But in the midst of that, we can cry out to Jesus and say, "Let me see you clearly. Let me have confidence as to who you are and what you are doing in my life and what you have done for me." Now, jumping ahead here to the passage of "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do other people say that I am?" And they say rightly what other people have said at Jesus' time: John the Baptist, Elijah, or a prophet. And of course, these people could not see clearly who Jesus was. They could see him, but they didn't see that he was the Son of God. And the disciples were in the same boat. And tell Peter has it revealed to him of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. Well, who opened the eyes of Peter? Only Christ through the Spirit. And so Jesus has come to open the eyes of those who cannot see clearly. In other words, we're utterly dependent as believers on Jesus to help us see clearly. How could Peter confess that Jesus is the Christ and others couldn't? Only because of the Spirit. How is it that we can see clearly and maybe others around us don't see the Scripture as clearly as we may? It's not because of our own work, but it's because of the Spirit's work in our lives. What we don't want to do is what we don't want is to be told that we're blind and we can't see. After all, in the part of the country we live, New Englanders, many of which, want to do it themselves, don't want to be told that they need help. And this is true for all of us as humans, really. None of us want to be told that we need help. None of us want to be told we're blind and that we cannot see clearly. But without this, we'll never be able to see clearly. If we do not recognize this fact, that we cannot see clearly without the aid of the Spirit, then we will just see men who are like trees walking. The question we can ask ourselves as believers is, do we see things as clearly or more clearly than we did 10 years ago? And by God's grace, I think all of us can answer yes, we see things differently and more clearly. Because we understand that the Christian life is a life of growth and one that is one of perpetual growth, continue to grow and to keep on growing. And so we meet here weekly on Sundays for worship, to hear from God's word, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know we haven't arrived yet, we haven't learned it all. You ask the most learned person that you know of the scripture, and he'll say, I still don't know it all, and I never will. And so we don't always see clearly, and we really never will see perfectly clearly until we get to glory. So we can know things, but we don't know. Maybe you've had this when you studied a passage, you thought you knew it, and then you studied it again, and all of a sudden it opened up more clearer to you. Just as the man who couldn't see and then could see clearly. Maybe a good illustration of this would be is, you know, junk food is bad for you, and you say, I know I shouldn't eat it, but maybe it takes a visit to the doctor to check your cholesterol or check whatever condition you may have, and they tell you this is a danger to you, you need to cut out certain things in your diet. See, you knew, but you didn't know. Then when you go back from the doctor, you really now know you need to make a change. You can see clearly because somebody's told you, even though you knew before it wasn't good for you. So in the Christian life, our faith is often like that. We know, but we need to be reminded. We need to be shown once again the way we are to live. So the Christian life is a gradual growth. Peter says this in the first book of his first book, Peter 2:2, 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. This idea of growing up into salvation. Long for pure spiritual milk. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both for now and to the day of eternity. So grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our problem is that we live, of course, in a society in which there's instant everything. And things don't just come overnight. Just as the disciples saw who Jesus was in a way that they gave up their livelihood way back in the beginning of the gospel to go and follow Jesus, and yet they didn't really see him clearly, really, until the book of Acts, until after he had died. And it was resurrected. And the same is true for us. At times, we just need to be reminded of this, and that Jesus can help us in our struggles in the Christian life to see clearly as we grow in the grace and knowledge of him. So it's a gradual growth as Christians. We grow gradually. And yet, this clear-sightedness comes to believers. And how does it come? Well, it comes by, thirdly, this third and final point, the touch of Jesus. This time of year, many of us think of why Jesus came. Why did Jesus have to come to be born as a baby in a feeding trough, in a lowly condition? Was it because we needed a good example to follow? Was it because we needed a good teacher to show us the way, and then it's up to us to follow that path? And by doing so, we will earn our salvation? No, that is not the reason he came. The reason he came is to save us from our sin by living a perfect life and dying a perfect death. What he did do was he came as a babe, born in a manger, to do what only he could do. To restore sight to the blind. physically and spiritually. Jesus says, as he proclaims the word of God to his people, as he reads it from a scroll, he says this, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Why did Jesus come? For these purposes. To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is a quotation from Isaiah 6, 1 and 2. And Jesus said that day that prophecy was fulfilled, because he was the fulfillment of it. He came to set the captives free. What do we need? Well, we need to be touched by Jesus, by the one who came 2,000 years ago, born as a baby, to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death as only he could, to save us from our sin. We needed him to come down from heaven, because without that one sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, we would be just like this man, maybe completely blind, not even partially being able to see, but we would be completely blind. We would be in darkness. We would have no hope. But the fact is, Jesus came and we have hope. There is a great hope in the story because of the touch of Jesus. You see, Jesus can touch even the worst of sinners' hearts. Think of the story in Luke chapter 2, where Mary and Joseph, even in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, where Mary and Joseph are told Jesus would come and be born of Mary. And they could see, but they really couldn't see, could they? They didn't get it 100%. But there was one man in Luke chapter 2 who saw it, who believed. And that's Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. After Jesus was born, he was brought to the temple, and Simeon there dedicated him, as was the custom on that day, blessed him and said this. He said, "It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to him, for according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." How in the world did Simeon know that this baby was the Christ? Because the Spirit opened his eyes to see. How do we know he's the Christ? Because the Spirit opens our eyes to see. Because we've been touched by Jesus. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a 20th century preacher in Wales, had a famous sermon on this, and he goes back to this idea of how this man was honest. And so if we want to see, we have to be honest, don't we, with Jesus. We have to say, like the blind man, at times we cannot see clearly. Jesus, help me to see. I see, but I don't see. Jesus, help me to see who you really are. How do we do that? Well, we submit, Martin Lloyd-Jones says, we submit ourselves to him. We say, "Jesus, I just can't find what I need in myself. It's impossible. So I need you to restore my sight." We say, "Where there's things we don't fully understand of the faith, reveal it to me. Help me to see clearly." See, Jesus can give us clear sight. That doesn't mean we'll understand everything perfectly. We're not going to be like God. But what we need to understand for that time, he'll comfort us with. After all, it's who he is. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the comforter. He's the Prince of Peace. So we're to trust in Jesus alone. We're to go to him and plead with him for clear sight in our walk of faith. Jesus came not to save us partially, but to give us full salvation, full and free in Him. And so that is what we're to do. Jesus never half heals anyone. He has complete healing through His touch. On the cross, He didn't just partially save those who place their faith in Him. No, He saves us to the uttermost, washing clean every one of our sins. He didn't come down and live a perfect life for His own sake, but for our sake, so we would have perfect righteousness. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know You only the true and only God, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Who is the only true God? It's only Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He's the only one that can give you sight. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, a quotation from his sermon. He says about us as believers, says, if you are unhappy about yourself as a result of this examination, come to Him. Come to His Word, wait upon Him, plead with Him, hold to Him, ask Him in the words of the hymn, Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon the soul of mine, Word of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. So what are we to do? We are to say to Jesus, clear my sight, Lord, help me to see You as You really are. Help me to see You as the Christ who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So if you see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, what are you going to do? The result is you're going to go and you're going to live for Him and tell the good news to those who are blind. You're going to go out and you're going to do many things for others and to glorify God through loving your neighbor as yourself, and first and foremost, loving Him with your whole heart. So we need to ask Jesus to show us the way. And we need His touch. All praise and glory goes to Jesus, the one and only one who can restore sight and restore it fully and completely, because He and He alone is a Savior of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that You would restore our sight. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning that cannot see, Lord, at all. Lord, give them faith. Give them eyes to see. Lord, maybe there are some of us, and many of us here, almost all fall in the same category as this man who are believers and yet struggle to see who You are and what You have done and how You are in and through all things. And Lord, we ask that we would be able to see You clearly. Lord, knowing that there will be suffering and persecution and trials and tribulations in this life, but help us to have our faith purified. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Your glory and for Your name's sake, we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.